yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out of the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Randy Rand.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
What's up now, motherfucker?
This is the show that shows no limits. Broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists. Still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records reveal that each of the rappers are coming up. Get them put on. We need the platform to fight the main. Show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering graphics. Just download the time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Buddy, you come to the unit. Do everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
We got couple with you. We bought our beats, we represent. All them chillers on the mic and we show love to all your fans. Motherfuckers wanna hate. Do your thing, you keep the focus. Bringing nothing but the reason. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy. Crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground.
I'm saying Murder Master Music Show, all the way from Saudi Arabia. Let's bring on Napoleon and the Outlaws. What's up, Napoleon?
What's going on, bro? All this love. Glad.
Man, what's going on, homie? For sure.
Man,
it's
good.
Napoleon,
you
man, you're in Saudi Arabia right now, man. How long you been in Saudi Arabia, man?
I've been in Saudi for 7 years, bro.
What exactly made you go to Saudi Arabia?
You know, I converted to Islam about 15, 16 years ago, and I just wanted to, you know, a different scenery. I wanted to study the Arabic language, raise my kids over here, give them a good upbringing, you know, real good environment. It's like the old school down south environments that we used to hear our grandmothers talk about, like all the neighbors know each other, everybody get along, peaceful environment, you know?
Definitely, definitely, man. Now, you know, this is a hip-hop show, so I want to go take you back. What was your introduction to hip-hop, man? Like, when did you start rapping?
I started rapping, man, when I was probably about 11, 12 years old. Just locally in my neighborhood, rapping for the drug dealers in the block. You know, what led me to rap, man? I come from a family of hustlers, you know? My brothers, my cousins, everybody was on the block hustling. And I tried, when I was about 12, 13 years old, I tried to hustle, man. And the first day I went outside on the block, I got arrested. Everybody laughed at me, my big brothers, my cousins, everybody was clowning me like, man, how you get locked up the first day you hit the block? So I said to myself, man, I need to do something that my cousins and my brothers can't do since they selling drugs better than me. Let me find something, you know, to get them upset. And I turned to writing raps. I turned to writing poetry. And I would go back on the block, man, and people from my hood, like the homies from my neighborhood, would be like, I want you to rap for me. I heard you can rap. And I should be like, no, you got to pay me. You know what I mean? So I used to make these jokers pay me 50 cents, $1. That was a lot of money back then. And I just started getting real serious, you know, about it, you know?
Wow. So how old were you when you met Tupac? And how did you meet Tupac?
I met Pac through Yafeyo Gaddafi, which was he pretty much like the half-brother of Pac, or the brother. You know, his family and Gaddafi family grew up together in the Black Panther movement, so they just considered each other brothers from day one. And me and Gaddafi was childhood friends. You know, his mother was friends with my family, so she would pick me up on the summers, and I'd go kick it with him. And years went apart, and I lost contact with him. One day I ran into his mother. I think I would say I'm about 14 years old at this time. And she was like, what's going on with you? I'm like, I'm trying to rap. How is your son? She's like, well, my son is also a rapper. He got a brother named Pac, Tupac Shakur. And Pac at this time, I think he already put one album out. He had the movie Juice. So, of course, I knew who he was. And she was like, look, man, Yafeyo, which is Gaddafi, and Tupac is on their way to New York City and maybe like in a month or something like that. And she like, if you serious, man, go to New York, get up with him. And I hopped on a train where my brother went, met Pac, and it was on from that day.
Mm. Oh, wow. And how old were you at this time?
I would say I was about 14, 15 years old at the latest, at the oldest. I think about 14 years old.
What year was it?
I think when I first met Pac, it was 92.
Wow.
92, 93. No, maybe around 93, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, about 93. Man. You know?
We around the same age.
You were 16, huh? Yeah, I'm 40 years old now.
I was 15 in 93.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll
so I was 40. About 15.
Going on 40 this year.
Yeah, I would say I was about 14, 15 at the latest, man. You know?
Wow.
Oh, So, man, you've seen some of the most memorable things in Tupac's career.
For sure.
Were you with him a lot? Like, were you with him during those moments, like the quad shooting? Were you there for that?
I wasn't there at that particular time, but I was actually at his house in Atlanta. I remember getting a phone call. His sister came in the room, said he got shot. When he checked out the hospital, I spoke to him on the phone that day. So I remember the incident, you know, around that time, but I wasn't actually in New York City.
Now, I had seen an interview you did, and you told a story about how you met. The interview was with Vlad. How you met Jimmy Henchman and Haitian Jack. And
yeah,
you were peaceful with them, but you did ask questions. You know what I mean? But, my question to you is, was that who you guys thought did it at that time? And was that an active situation? Was that something you guys were, you know, on your toes about during that time?
Well, you know, we heard a lot of rumors. You know, when Pac did that song, Against All Odds, he pretty much broke it down about the dude Tuck that shot him. We, you know, Pac also have family members in New York, so word was getting around. You know what I mean? You know, Pac was upset with Jimmy Henchman because he's the one who invited him in the studio. So it was kind of cloudy that he invited him to the studio to do a song with his artist, and these dudes knew he was coming. You know what I mean? I'm at a point in my life, of course, I'm peaceful, and I'm going to try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But at the same time, I'm a man. You understand? People don't take, they should never take
right.
that peaceful for granted. I'm gonna try my best as possible to avoid problems because I've been in real situations and I know how things can get heated. So I'm gonna try my best to go around every avenue before it really get confrontational because I know how I can get down. You know what I mean? And I know how my family get down. So when we ran down on Haitian Jack, this was years ago, we was heated. We were strapped. You know what I mean? It was a situation where I think it was Las Vegas, correct, I think it was Las Vegas. But sometimes, if I'm correct, I mean, I think it was Las Vegas. But sometimes I get a little confused with certain situations, man, because my mind back then was always, you know, messed up. You know what I mean? I always was on some type of substance. So some things, it might just be a little off. But when we ran down on them, I was with my brother, some Jersey homies, a few cats from L.A. and from Compton with us, and we confronted them, you know what I mean? And he was like, look, I never told nobody personally to go shoot Pac. He said, man, people had love for me, and they did it on their own, but it never came from me. You understand? He said, well, Pac was doing this and saying, man, I just left it alone. But he's like people that's under me was upset, and they did it on their own. He's like, but I never told nobody, you know what I mean? So, and one thing Pac told us, he said, man, whenever you, he used to say, man, there will be times you might face somebody, and you really, if they bow down, you know, you just leave it alone. You understand? So, it was a situation where back then my mindset is different than the way it is now. You understand? Back then we was ready, like, man, we can't just do something in the middle of this where we was at. But we confronted him to let him know, look, man, it's some unanswered some questions that you need to confront. You know what I mean? And he said it's out of the story. When I ran into Jimmy Henchman, I was actually in the masjid. I was Muslim at the time. And, you know, as a Muslim, once a person becomes Muslim, he's your brother. It doesn't matter his race. It doesn't matter his skin color. It doesn't matter what you did before Islam with this person. Once he become Muslim, this is your brother, and his blood is actually in lawful for you to spill. You understand? Not only because he's Muslim, but even as a non-Muslim, as in the religion of Islam, we cannot just go around spilling blood unlawful and just you know, acting ignorant. You understand? So Islam gave me a foundation of discipline and morals that I'm not with going around just causing violence for no reason. Of course, I can defend myself if someone try to attack me and someone try to hurt me. Alhamdulillah, Islam is a religion of men, so we stand up. But we don't go looking for problems. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no question. Tupac always seemed to have a connection with Islam. You know what I mean? He was very respectful to it. You know what I mean? Like he spoke really highly of it. I mean, he turned down the movie part because they wanted him to be a Muslim gangbanger or something like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a menace to society, right?
Yeah, for sure. Because Pac got a lot of family members that are Muslim. He got aunties, he got cousins, Matulu Shakur, for example, been Muslim. So he, even though Pac wasn't Muslim, but he respected that, you know what I mean? I think a lot of us in the in the African-American community, especially on the East Coast, we have some friends or some family members that are Muslim, so we always seen that around, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Definitely, man. Now,
all right,
so Pac gets shot at Quad, and then he goes to prison. Now, when he comes home, we all know the rivalry is at the peak.
Yeah.
Now, during that time, was there any altercations with anybody from the East, whether it was Nas or Mobb Deep or Biggie or anybody like that, that you guys, like, ran up on somebody?
Yeah, when Pac was locked up, man, people was putting out songs like Mobb Deep and Nas and them, like Thug Life was still living it. One time Mobb Deep was downtown, we ran down on them, but it was like some police was outside, so we really couldn't do nothing. But some of the homies that was there was from South Central LA that was in Atlanta. They banged on them and said this and this and that. We had some words, and they looked shocked. You know what I mean? They look shocked, and I think got on his they tour bus. The police was there, so we let them know that our presence was there and that we was upset and from what they putting out. You know what I mean? And Pac was just sitting in prison, and he felt like when he was in prison at that time, people were just taking shots at him. Subliminal, you know what I mean? Like East Coast rappers, they say a lot of subliminal things, and but Pac, of course, who got some East Coast roots and understand East Coast hip hop, he was deciphering these things. You know what I mean? And so when he was in prison, he was just, like, hurt. Like, man, I can't believe these people was once smiling in my face and now they doing all types of shots through music. So when I come home, and that's why when people seen him come home and did All Eyes on Me and hit him up, he was almost, like, heartless. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Like, when we always talk about, like, what the best diss songs ever are, I always say, like, Hit 'Em Up was the most aggressive. You know what
I mean? Yeah, because Pac is a crazy dude. He just went in on it, you know. He just went in like, just he's passionate. He, like Pac, the type of dude, man. When you his friend, you his friend. Like he's the most loyal. And I'm talking, I never seen too many people with that type of mannerism and characteristic. But when he your enemy, you're gonna know he's your enemy. You understand? He gonna do everything to break you down. And even back then, I'm a street dude, and I was like, man, this dude is crazy, man. He's taking it a little too far, but but Pac, he do what he wanna do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now, like, you said, like, people were taking subliminal shots at him. Like, I know, like, Who Shot You by Biggie. Now, Biggie claims that record was made prior to that. But the thing that threw me off about that record was, you know, Puff in the background saying, East Coast motherfucker. Like, they never really said that before that song.
Yeah,
like,
they never said
that
before. Is
that what, like, got
banging.
Him, too, was, like, you know what I mean?
Of
like,
course,
them saying
man.
East Coast.
Yeah, of course, they was, like, banging on, and it was, and we don't know if he really done it before that or he done it. It just was, like, the timing just saying, like, come on, man. It was, like, no coincidence almost. Okay, now you just coming out with this and Who Shot You. It just was, it was like, man, you know what I mean? Even if you done it before, why didn't you release it before? So Pac was looking at it like, okay, you release it now, though. And Puffy, you know, so it was just like bad timing. You know, now when I look at, I'm 40 years old, when I look back at it, I wish a lot of that stuff could have been avoided because we did lose two good people, Biggie, Pac, you know what I mean, over stuff that could have been avoided. I know Biggie's personality was different than Pac. He might have had big homies that he listened to. Pac had big homies, but he didn't listen to them. You understand? Suge couldn't tell Pac to chill, like from what the people might have thought. But Suge never could handle Pac. Mopreme, Big Sight, these people couldn't keep Pac calm. You know, so when I look back at it, I say, man, you know, we all submit to what the decree of God is, but Pac didn't really have nobody in his corner that can tell him, look, chill, don't react this way, don't react, because he was, even if they did, he wasn't going to listen to him. He did whatever he wanted to do. You understand?
Yeah, man, we did lose two great people, man. Like, I loved both of them, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I grew up on both of them. And, like, yeah. I mean, we always hear rumors about, like, you know, Tupac planned on squashing that with Biggie. Like, did he ever talk to you about, like, the future of that? Did he plan on ever reaching out to Biggie and trying to end it?
I think he was. You know, I heard him a few times talking about, like, I don't really, saying that he don't really want nothing bad to happen to Biggie. I heard it coming out of his mouth. He said, I don't really want nothing bad to happen to Biggie, man. I just wanted to spank him. You know what I mean? I think he might have had a dream, if I'm not mistaken. He had a dream that something happened to Biggie, and then he's told us about it. And he was like, you know what? But I really don't want nothing bad to happen to him. You know, so you can see that he still had that love there. You understand? Because Pac, I know him. If he hates somebody, he hates you, man. He don't care what happened to you. So for him to say that, this shows that he was really trying to, you know, eventually I think he would have squashed it, you know?
Yeah, now, eerily, all these years later, like,
I mean, it was kind of... Yeah, all these years later, Napoleon, like at that time it was, you know, Tupac and the Outlaws versus Biggie and the Junior Mafia. Now, I know C's had done a song with some members of the Outlaws. Have you ever talked to anybody from Junior Mafia and put that behind you?
I talked to Little C's, you know what I mean? I talked to him years ago, and we spoke like, man, it was a good conversation. It's crazy because I used to want to fight Little C's. I used to keep saying, man, I want to get this dude. Like, I used to say, I just wanted him, man. But you know, when you get older and you get mature and you look back at it, you know what I mean? We spoke like, man, I have a lot of love and respect for him. We even speak every once in a while on the Instagram and stuff like that, man. I think we all just grew up and matured, you know, something that Pac and Biggie couldn't do, you know what I mean? But we able to do it, you know? And I think we got a lot of kids watching us, so it's important to show something positive, you know, for these kids.
Definitely. Devin, man, that's another thing people got to keep in mind, like, you guys were all young. I mean, like, even Biggie and Pop, I mean, they were only 25. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of limelight, man, you know.
For sure.
It was just a crazy time, man. You know what I'm saying? But I asked Mo Preem this same question. Do you have a Mike Tyson story for us, man?
I'd only met Mike Tyson, I think, maybe like once around Pop, but most of the time after. I remember Mike Tyson was crazy. I remember one time we was actually downtown. I mean, we was in New Orleans because a lot of people don't know we was about to sign a record deal with Cash Money, and we was at a juvenile video shoot. This one I knew Tyson was off the chain, and I think Juvenile's sister was joking with him, and was like, "Yeah, my brother Juvie told me to stay away from you, Tyson, because you like to rape women. You understand?" And Tyson just slipped. Like, man, F you in, F Juvie. He's like, man, I'll knock you in.
He went in.
I was like, yeah, y'all got to leave Tyson. You know, he got a couple of screws loose, man. Don't try to bring it out of him. You know what I mean? But we was there. And the next time I spoke to him is after I converted to Islam, because you know Tyson been Muslim for years. And we had a few conversations after that, you know?
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. You said you guys were
going to
sign with Cash Money?
Yeah, we was going to sign with Cash Money, man. Baby and Slim, they was flying us out to New Orleans. We did a song with the Hot Boys when they was the Hot Boys, Lil Wayne, Juvenile, and all of them. We did a song with them in Houston, matter of fact, one time. And then after that, man, they flew us out, and we was like at the negotiation table. But I think we made some mistakes. Like, we was wild. That same trip, I forget the name of that comedian dude. You know the little comedian dude that was in the Eazy-E video acting like, I mean, Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre video acting like Eazy-E. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Anthony, old boy that played Eazy-E and shit on Friday.
Yeah, the short dude, man. I think.
I forgot his name.
Like that same trip, he was there, and he said something crazy. I was off my mind, and I put him in a sleeper hold and tried to beat him up, and I think it got back to baby in them, and it kind of put a bad taste in their mouth. And the next day, Anthony Johnson. Like, we was joking, and he said like a joke about my mother. You know, I was young and immature, and I tried to put him in the sleeper hole and was trying to put him to sleep. And baby and them said the next day, oh, y'all did this to Anthony Johnson. And they flew us home the next day. I guess they probably like, man, we don't want to deal with these wild dudes. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's crazy.
They put Ezell in a headlock. They choked up Ezell, man.
I was a wild dude, man. I was a wild dude, and I think my mindset, I chased a lot of blessings away, like just acting with no, like crazy. You know what I mean? So when I look back at it, I laugh at these things, but you know,
yeah, that's crazy, man. But I wanted to ask you this, just because we've had some people that were friends with Tupac on the show, and I always forget to ask this question. But there's a book out by Ben Westhoff called Original Gangsters, and it tells a lot of stories just about West Coast hip hop artists. But in the book, now, if I'm correct, you weren't in Las Vegas that night that Pac got shot, right? You weren't there.
No, I wasn't there when he got shot.
Okay.
That night.
You still might know about this, though. Now, that night,
okay,
we're going to Club 662, and in the book it says that Pac and Shook were going to Club 662 because Run DMC was going to perform there, and Tupac was going there to sign Run DMC to Death Row or Death Row East. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, I think they definitely was trying to sign Run DMC to Death Row East, and they agreed on it. And also, Atlanta's Morissette was going to sign, and Eric B. from Eric B. and Rakim, they was going to make him the CEO of Death Row East, you know. And I think Run DMC, and also they were trying to sign Craig Mack, if I'm not mistaken.
Craig Mack, and I heard CL Smooth maybe, or Nice and Smooth maybe.
Yeah, Greg Nice. They definitely was dealing with Greg Nice because him and Pac had a good relationship. So I think it was going to be like Greg Nice, Run DMC, a lot of the old head East Coast rappers that Pac had a lot of love and respect for. And Pac was trying to show this to let them know that it's not no East Coast, West Coast beef. They were trying to kill it, you know what I mean? But Pac was trying to show that, look, man, we got a lot of love for the East Coast, but it's not what the media is trying to portray, you know?
Alanis Morissette, though?
Atlanta's Morissette, man. Believe it or not, Pac used to hang with her, man. Like, Pac had his weird ways. Like, you'll get in the car, he put some music on, you'd be like, man, what are you listening to? And it'd be like Atlanta's Morissette, and you know, Pac be on his genius stuff, man. He like, man, y'all don't know nothing about this, man. Y'all young boys don't know nothing. Y'all just want to listen to rap.
Pac, wow, man, that's crazy, man. Wow.
Jesus.
After, you know, Tupac passed away, obviously things were chaotic. Now, when Biggie passed away, how did that feel for you guys, man? Like, what do you remember about that time when you heard Biggie, you know, was murdered? How did you feel? What do you remember about that?
I think, you know what I mean, because we was young. We was young and we was caught up in you know what I mean? I think the way I look at it now is not the way I look at it back then. You understand? Like, I think, you know, I looked at a lot of things in that particular time from an ignorant standpoint of view, you know? So when you get older and you get mature, you look back at it and you say, wow, it is actually a sad thing that happened to that person, that happened to him. But back then, my mindset was differently. You know what I mean? It was different.
Yeah. I understand. I know you're in a different place now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
yeah, back then I was ignorant. I was kind of probably, yeah, like I probably was,
like
it was like
tit
for tat. Like if somebody, yeah, it was like an eye for eye. Like if somebody was the enemy of Pac, they got Pac and one of them got them. Back in that time, I was looking at it like, yeah, like one, in an ignorant way. You know what I mean? Unfortunately. And I was young and I was dumb and at a different standpoint. But when you get old and you get mature, you're like, man, we lost two young kids who have families, who was positive influence for many people, who was feeding many people, you understand, over some stuff that it should have been avoided. Like, unfortunately, we don't have, like, you know, our communities, unfortunately, in the music industry, they breed off of negativity. You understand? Instead of people coming through, I think we did have people that tried to squash it, but it was too late. It was after Biggie and Pac died. You had people putting together seminars and speeches and gatherings, but where was the people when it was in the middle of the, when it was in the midst of it? You understand? It's like everybody was looking back, loving it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree. That's unfortunate. Were you ever able to mend any of those relationships? Like, did you ever, like, you and Prodigy or anybody ever chop it up after all that?
We chopped it up with Prodigy years ago, you know what I mean? And it's crazy because I had some homies from Arizona, some Mexican homies. One of them became a brother of mine. He also converted to Islam. They were some Mexican street dudes. And some of they people brought Mobb Deep out to a show. And we was on tour with Bone Thugs and Harmony, and Mobb Deep happened to be there, too. And they came to me, the Mexican homie, and he was like, look, man, my people are the ones that brought Mobb Deep out. They at this hotel. I already got the homies. We ready to ride on them. And believe it or not, man, they had a trunk full of AK-47s. And I met with them, and they said, look, man, if you give us the green light, we would tear them up. I said, nah, don't do that. What hotel are you at? Let me go speak to them. So I went to the hotel. I knocked on the door. Prodigy came, and we spoke like men. And this was even at a time I was getting a little older, but I'm always the type that I'd rather give, you know what I mean? I'm going to go talk to the people head up before we just go into, like, you know what I mean? When they was in a weak position and we had advantage of them. So I went and we spoke to them, and I don't think they even know the situation he was in. And we went and we spoke to him, and we talked like men, and we shook hands, and we put it behind us. And I told the Mexican homie, I said, nah, leave it alone. We spoke like men. It's over. And that Mexican dude became my brother. Even to this day, we have a good relationship. And I'm happy that we was able to, me and Mobb Deep, you know, Prodigy, we was able to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that could have been real ugly. Like you said, you could have gave him the green light to off this dude right there.
But and they would have done it, man. These was the Mexican mafia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They would have done that shit.
And he was ready. But I'm just I'm not that type of dude, man. I've never been a bully type of person. You know what I mean? I was wild. I had some crazy ways. But I've never been the type of person that try to take advantage of a person when I know we can. You understand? I'd rather try to avoid it. And this is before I was Muslim. I'd rather try my best to avoid it and talk to them. But if it have to go down, I'm ready to go down. But I can say, look, we gave you a chance to get up out of the situation, but you didn't want to get out of it, so now I don't feel sorry if anything happened after that. You know what I mean? So I always had some type of good heart. You know?
Yeah, man. Now, I wanted to ask you this, though, man. Like, Mobb Deep was in the song L.A., L.A. And,
yeah,
I mean, Pac went off on, like, everybody from the East. I mean, even the Fugees got it. But why didn't Capone and Nori get it? Like, that was their record. I never heard any, you know,
did they come to Capone or North? Oh, so it was their record.
It was their record, yeah.
I thought Capone and Nori came out later for some reason. I don't even know why. I don't think they was that big back then. I think even though it was their record.
They really weren't that big back then. But, like, right after that is when they had that TONY, the top of New York. And like Biggie
I think they became bigger back then. I think they might have got on the remix after Pac died, if I'm not mistaken.
That was them and Tragedy Kadafi.
Wow.
And featuring Mobb Deep. It's their record, man. They even put that on their album. They put that on the War Report, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Pop, one of the albums. Yeah, Pop probably didn't even know it. They probably slid under the radar because he would have gave it to everybody.
We just had one of the infamous Mobb dudes on the show. Well, actually, we had the whole infamous Mobb on the show at different times. We had Godfather Part 3 on the show just recently, and he told us that Tupac ended up meeting up with Nas and they did squash the beef.
I was there.
Can you speak on that a little bit?
I was there, man, and that's one of the most respectful things that I'm glad that I was able to witness as a youngster. You know, we was in New York City, man, and we was deep. We had Jersey homies, I think 34 of my homies from Jersey, Fatal homies, Gaddafi homies, Noble homies, and everybody was strapped. And we had the Death Row homies, the Mob, the Compton, and we was just in the park, man. We were so deep, and Nas and his homies was there, and they was deep, and I'm sure they were strapped, you know what I mean? And they ran to each other, and they had the whole Queensbridge with them, and we had the whole Jersey and California with. I know we had at least 10, 15 joint scats with us, you understand? So I know it could have got real ugly, you understand?
Yeah, and
Pac and Nas, they, you know, spoke like men. And they would just, I remember, like, Nas would say something, and Pac would say something in his ear because it was so loud, a crowd. People from my side was woofing, and people from his side was woofing. And it's, at the same time, they were just going back and having a conversation, and they shook hands with each other, and they hugged. And Pac said to Nas, he said, man, I have a song that I was dissing you called All Against All Odds, but when I go back after I finish my trip from Vegas, I'm going to remove your name off of it. And Pac said it. He said to us that I'm going to go and I'm going to take Nas out of that song. And unfortunately, he died. You know, he wasn't able to do it. And I respect Nas for not letting that get to him or affect his ego. You know what I mean? Because he could have heard that song later and still have something against Pac because Pac went in. But, you know, he sure.
Right.
And even recently, I've been topping it up with Nas through Instagram. We send each other messages every once in a while. And I just like people that try to take a positive toll because, like, it could have went down in that park. You know, and New York City is theirs. You know what I mean? That New York City is theirs, so they had the support. They had the home court advantage. Even though we were strapped, we had guns, but at the end of the day, that's their city. You know what I mean? And that's their state, and they could have took advantage. That's like if you run into someone in L.A., Pac could have took advantage. So they really, I respect people like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I followed Nas's career, like his whole career, and he loves Tupac, man. You know what I mean?
He
put that in that record, the We Will Survive record. He, you know, he says, like, you mentioned my name on the realest shit you ever wrote, and then he says something like, when we saw each other, it stopped. You know what I mean? I was always wondering if that was, if that really happened.
Nah,
that
was a dope thing.
Question or what?
Now, they squashed it, man, and it was a dope thing, and that's what people need to do, man, that you don't always have to, if you get a chance to squash the beef, squash the beef. These youngsters nowadays, hopefully they have older people, like, in their ear to try to tell them to chill and stuff like that, so because it can turn real ugly real fast, as we've seen what happened with Pac and Biggie. But I was there, and they squashed the beef, man, and it was dope to be involved in. And before that happened, we was in the MTV Awards, and it was myself, Pac, and a few of the Outlaws. And I think it was one of Nas' boys because we seen him in that crowd. And it almost went down there because Pac, like, he was standing at Pac, and Pac was like, what's up, homie? Why you keep looking at me? And it almost went down in the MTV Awards, and the security came, and you know what I mean? And he was like, man, I'm one of Nas' homies or something. Like, it was crazy. So the tension was already there. So when we ran into Nas and him later, I'm glad that the fire got extinguished and they was able to talk and shake hands. You know what I mean? And Suge was able to.
Right.
Suge was there. He was there. He seen it. And everybody just did what men supposed to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.